Good morning. Just a few years ago, actually in 2 weeks, it'll be 22 years ago, Tamara and I stood at the front of a church much like this, and we made a vow that we were going to live in harmony for the rest of our lives. In fact, look at that. That was a long time ago. Look at those hairstyles. Wow. 22 years ago, oh my goodness, look how young we look. We were 12 and 13 when we got married. We stood before each other and we said, I do, and we made vows that were intended to last a lifetime. And that's what we're going to cover over the next 4 weeks, a marriage series where we're going to talk about take a vow. And really, my strong conviction is this, is that God wants to build people, strong people. That God is really into building strong marriages and strong relationships and strong parental child relationships. But for there to be strong families and strong marriages, there has to be strong people. And that is why we're here today. In this series, we want to build strong people and strong families as we move forward. And in the Old Testament, God compared marriage to the covenants of the Old Testament, and they were blood covenants and designed to be an unbreakable bond for a lifetime. And right there, I just want to stop for just a minute that anytime we deal with marriage, there are people that have feelings of guilt over broken marriages, or they have feelings of shame over still being single when they want to be married, or they're in a tough spot in marriage and they feel a lot of condemnation. And I want to tell you today, there's none of that here. No over guilt over the past, no condemnation over the present. That we're saying, starting today, how can we move forward from this point? And I hope that as a singles, this prepares you for your future. As marrieds, this starts a new transition and strengthening a strong marriage or helping a struggling marriage. But that's the desire for the series as we move forward. And over the next 4 weeks, we're going to deal with four vows that we take to build and to prepare for and to keep strong marriage relationships. Because how many of you know marriage is not easy? And all the married people said, amen. Even having a great wife like I do that God has given me is not always easy. But I'm asking her to come up today to read a key text for us. So would you welcome Tamara as she comes up this morning?
Ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, Genesis 2, 24 and 25. That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. 25, Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame.
Awesome. Thank you.
You just wanted me to hear you say the word naked, right? Is that, because surely, right?
No, I wanted my wife to come here and help me as a part of the sermon. So I think I kind of like her. I'll keep her for a few more years, right? Joking. So let me give you an opening thought to the marriage series is this, is to be fulfilled in life, you have to find the one. To be fulfilled and to get all you want in life, you have to find the one. But sometimes it seems like that we pick the wrong one and that we go through marriage and he doesn't fulfill his duties and she's a nag and that there's a struggle and that there's tension and that we seem to struggle in marriage. And men and women are very, very, very different. In fact, in my family, there are 6 grandkids to my parents. And so I have 3 and my sister has 3 and there's 5 of those are girls. And throughout the time growing up, they were cute and they were talkative and they were chatty. And even at a young age, they would want to talk with you and they'd be like, dip, 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 and they're talking, you're like, what are you saying? But they're talking. And so it's like really cute. And then along comes my nephew, Riker. Riker was so chunky and so thick, I call him Bulldog, because his face was so chunky that his cheeks hung down below his cheekbones. And he didn't talk. He didn't even try to talk. He would grunt, And so you have a conversation, and he's like, and so one day he's crying, and he's wailing, and he's bawling, and my dad, his grandfather, walks up to him and goes, "Hey, Riker." And Riker goes, So you have little girls, cute and pretty, and then you have boys. So it's like beauty and function, and beauty and function. Women are so pretty, and men are just functional. And I remember two of my friends were all hanging out, and their friends were there, and they had a little boy, and they had a daughter, and we put a little basketball, a little plastic basketball goal out, and we rolled a ball out, and the girl just watched it roll by, and the little boy ran and grabbed it, and he runs to the little basketball goal, and he goes, "Ah!" And the girl goes, "Ah!" And for like 15 minutes, he would run, and he would dunk it, and he'd go, "Ah!" And she'd go, "Ah!" Beauty and function. We're just very different. But why do we struggle in marriage? Why is it such a hard deal? Now, we're very, very different, but it goes far beyond that. That why do we struggle so much? And what does Jesus say about relational priorities? In Matthew 22, that Jesus is talking to a large group and they begin to ask him questions. And here's what it says. "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment of the law?" Referring to the Old Testament law. And Jesus replied this way. He says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This, loving God, is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second one is to love your neighbor as yourself." So Jesus is saying this, listen to me. To be fulfilled, you have to find the one. And loving God and loving others. So what Jesus is saying, if you're taking notes today, write this down. That God is the one and your spouse is the two. Did you hear that today? That to be fulfilled, that you have to find the one, and God is that one, and our spouse is the two, is the way that he lays out the relational priority for our lives. So let's look at how it all started, that we see in Genesis 1 that God is beginning the creation process, and that all through the process, we see God saying he created, and it was good, and it was good, and it was good. And we see that over and over and over through Genesis 1. But not until Genesis 2 do we hear him say if something was not good. And it says in Genesis 2:18 that it says, "It was not good for man, for Adam to be alone, and I will make for him a helper." God sees a need that is not good for Adam to be alone and decides to give him a helper. But why was it not good for Adam to be alone? I mean, probably the Garden of Eden was probably a mess. There were socks everywhere. He was getting lost. Take a left at the waterfall, not a right. I mean, it was probably, he needed help. And it says this, that in Genesis 2:24, or it tells us, I'm sorry, leading to that, that he puts Adam to sleep, he takes a rib from his side, and he forms around that rib for him a helpmate, a spouse, that he gives him a help. And when Adam wakes up, he sees her, and much the way that when I saw Tamara, the first thing I said was, "Whoa, man." And that's how she got her name, maybe. We're just guessing there. Function and beauty. So in Genesis 2:24, one more time, it says, "For this reason, a man leaves his father and his mother, is united with his wife, and they became one flesh, and Adam and his wife were naked, and they felt no shame." So over the next 4 weeks, we're going to talk about four vows. And here's what I'm asking for you guys, is will you invest an hour a week in your current marriage or in your future marriage if you're single? I'm asking for us to take 1 hour, one day a week, and specifically invest in that. But that idea leads us to our vow for this week. And the vow for this week is this, the vow of priority. The vow of priority, and that we have to confess this vow and live out the vow of priority. And the vow of priority is saying this, that next to Christ, my spouse is my priority. Next to Christ, my spouse is my priority. So one more time, sometimes people are saying, "Well, I'm single again, so how does this even apply to me?" I promise you that if you would, over the last 23 years of being a pastor, if you would know the number of people said, "I wish I knew then what I know now. And so really, I'm saying that let this be a preparation time as we move forward to take these vows, apply these vows to marriage, and build a strong marriage now. But the Bible says, for this reason, a man will leave his father and his mother and will cling to his wife. They will become one. I want us to look at the word leave. The word leave in the original language is the word azab. Azab, that's the original thing there. And it means this, to loosen or to relinquish, to let go of what you were holding to and to commit to something new. And so when a man marries a wife and when he comes into that marriage covenant, that what he's doing is he loosens his relationship with his parents and he makes a deeper relationship with his wife. And really, maybe we don't practice this a ton culturally, but the number one relationship prior to marriage is designed to be the relationship with our family. Now, maybe not all your families were close, or maybe you didn't have great parents, but that is really the design that God has for us. But what now happens is now we embrace our spouse as the priority next to Christ. So men, can I talk to you for just a minute? Man, let me just, you and I have a conversation, and I want you to notice two things that we're to give our life for. And as we go through this, I want you to see and to notice what's on the list and what's not on the list. So I want you to notice as you peruse the leather-bound pages of Scripture that on the list you will never see the Bible say to give your life away for your career. You'll never hear the Bible say to give your life away for riches or for fame or for leisure or for pleasure or success. You'll never open up the Scriptures and say, give your life away for your favorite sports team because they will never let you down. Or for your hobbies. The Bible says that there are two things that we are men, as men, are to give our lives for. And the first one that we're to give our life for is to Christ. Now, why do we give our lives to Christ? Because the truth is that he first gave his life to us. And in following Christ, it brings us spiritual life. That there is spiritual life that awakens inside of us when we come into this relationship with God. And it says this in 1 John 3:16, that this is how we know what love is. Like, this is how we even understand love, that Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. John 10:10 says that the thief comes to steal and to kill and destroy. And Jesus says, but I have come that you would have life and have it to the full. Another version says life and life abundantly. Matthew 10:39 says that whoever finds his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for the sake of Christ, we're giving our life to him, will find it. And so we're to give our lives to Christ because Christ first loved us. And it's this whole concept and this whole dynamic, you might want to write this down, of mutual submission. Mutual submission is this, is that I'm going to give myself to you, put you first for your benefit, which makes us incredibly vulnerable. Except the other person is saying, I'm putting you first for your benefit. And this whole concept of mutual submission. And so for us, mutual submission looks like this way when we're in relationship with Christ, is that I don't have to fear giving my heart to Jesus and giving my heart to God and following Christ because of what God will do to me. Have you ever had that fear? That if I fully follow God, what's he going to make me do? So if you've gone to church here very long, you know what I'm about to say because I've said it before, that as a 15-year-old boy growing up in a church and my dad being a pastor, I was weighing through, am I going to fully follow God or not? Because I was afraid of what God was going to do to me. I thought God, first of all, was going to make me marry an ugly woman. And I thought then he was going to make me be a missionary to Africa with this ugly woman by my side. Don't judge, I was 15 in a church full of ugly women. Oh. And so my fear was, what is God going to do to me? Because surely if I give to him, it means he's in charge and he's going to make me do stuff I don't want to do. When really, here's the principle that we need to understand, is that Christ is saying, don't fear giving your life to me. Don't fear giving yourself to me, because I went first. When I sent my son Jesus to be born, when he died on the cross for your sins, you don't have to fear following me and giving yourself to me, because I've already given myself to you. That I put you first for your benefit, that you can have forgiveness of sins. And now when you're saying, Christ, I put you first, he's saying, don't be afraid, because I love you enough that I'm not going to do things to you. I'm going to change you for the better. And so the Bible and this whole concept of mutual submission, that is the greatest relational dynamic of anything, is mutual submission. And a husband and wife, and a parent child, and co-workers, this whole thing of, I'm going to put you first for your benefit. Mutual submission. Giving ourselves to Christ. The second thing the Bible tells us that we give our lives to, and the only things that we give our lives to, is this, is that we give ourselves to our wives. Men, we give ourselves to our wives. And Ephesians 5:25 says this, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and he gave himself up for her. So how do we know, or did Christ show his love for the church? That he gave himself to the church. And in the same way, we're to give our lives for our spouse, because next to Christ, our spouse is the priority. Now, in the Bible, God compares our relationship with him, that our as people and as the church, our relationship with him, to a marriage. He compares that he is the groom and the church, those who've come into a relationship with God, he compares that to the bride, and that he gave himself to it. The groom gave himself for the bride. And that is how we're to love our wife and to love our spouse, is giving ourselves to them. Now, God's not asking us to die for them as much as he's asking us to live for them and to put them first under him. So with these foundational truths, what goes wrong in relationships? You see, it starts off and she sees a guy and he can do no wrong. She thinks he's funny and he's witty, and she wants to buy him cards, and she's so excited, and that when she walks by, she feels a little excitement, and now all the love songs on the radio, they just make sense. And I will always love.
Nailed it.
I'm on the worship team next week. All of me loves all of you. All your curves and all, how's it go? All your edges. All your perfect. So now she's saying all the love songs, they just make sense. And he's there for her, and she's there for him. And he meets her needs, and she meets his needs, and they care for one another. And then somewhere down the road, years down the road, now he's saying, I don't connect with her, and she's saying, I don't connect with him. And he doesn't meet my needs, and she doesn't meet his needs, and they find themselves fallen out of love. So what's gone wrong to get us to that point? The easy version is this, and you'll probably see your story in here somewhere in regards to relationships. That the guy sees the girl across the room. He gets butterflies in his stomach, and he gets sweaty palms, and he gets a little nervous, but he works up the nerve, and he walks over there, and he says some witty joke and tries to be funny, and she nervously laughs, and he asks her name, and they talk, and then he asks her on a date, and she says yes. And he's excited, and she's excited, and he gets her flowers, and she writes him notes, and he goes to pick her up on the date, and as he opens the car door, she goes by, and he's like, oh, she smells so good. And she's like, that's as good as guys can smell. and they get in the car and they go on the date and the love songs make sense and they're excited and they, you know, they, he's her priority and he's her priority, that she likes him, he likes her, and they're there for each other and caring turns to love. And then as God develops the relationship, at one point he gets on his knees and he looks her in the eyes and he's past the family and he opens up the ring box and he says, "Will you marry me?" And she starts crying and she covers her face and she's like, have you noticed when girls cry, their hands shake? I don't know how the tears are connected to the hands. I don't know. But she says yes, and they hug one another, and then they go and spend way too much money on the wedding. They have a short time of extreme bliss with a few arguments mixed in, and then as time goes on, they end up and she's pregnant and they have a beautiful, adorable little child. And then somewhere in the process, maybe their priorities begin to change. And maybe for the wife, her priorities go to the new baby or to the career or to the home. And the man's thinking, man, just a few years ago, I was the man and now there's another little man running around. I don't get it. And maybe the husband, his priorities begin to go to work or to his hobbies or to his buddies or to his investments or maybe even towards providing for the enlarged family. And suddenly they're asking, what has happened to what we used to have? Where did that go and what happened? And so let me give you a few key thoughts in regards to that. That the things that destroy marriages are often good things and not bad things. When priorities go bad, it's because often we begin to focus on things that are good and things that are not bad. And when a marriage is struggling, I can almost guarantee you that one or both of the priorities have focused on other things. And some of those things that we focus on aren't bad things. That it's not like that there is great, horrible things going on behind the scenes. It's just sometimes we're focusing on good things. And really, if you're taking notes, write this down, that sometimes the good things are the enemy of the best things. And so let me give you a few things. Now listen, you're going to be hard pressed to find a greater blessing than your kids. And I have three daughters that to me, I wouldn't trade them for anything. I might give them away for a few days, but trade them, I'm not going to trade them for anything. That incredible, I love my daughters. They are really the biggest blessing. But there are some families that in the marriage relationship that the parents become so kid-centric that they begin to neglect the priority relationship of the marriage covenant. So how does this happen? That maybe over time that in our experiences that we began to stop taking date nights and we stopped looking nice for them and doing something special for them. Maybe that over time that you've had kids and you've never taken a trip without the kids on the trip with you. And that we get so busy, we get so involved, we get so tied up with our kids. And as they get older, suddenly we're taking them to tutoring and to sports events and we're taking them to choir and we're taking them to all this other stuff. And we get so busy, we lose time for our spouse, which is the primary relationship, the priority relationship. Now, sometimes in our family that we have so much going on that we just have to say no to some things to keep the family and to keep the marriage relationship priority intact. And you can do all the stuff for a season. And there are seasons that in families you are incredibly busy. But there will come a time, if you're not careful, when your children go on and develop their own covenant marriages and when your children go on or doing their own life to where suddenly you're saying, who are you and how did we get here? Because we've neglected, because of something very, very good, the priority relationship in our lives. Another distraction that is a good thing, but it's an enemy of the best thing at times, is our careers. That I believe that at times that we put so much into our career that it neglects from the priority relationship. Now, let me just say this. Be grateful for the job that you have. Amen? And I also want to say that as a Christian, that you should be the best possible employee that you can be, because it's a matter of character and integrity. That if you're a believer, you never go in and cheat your boss. You say, I would never cheat him. I would never steal. Well, then get off Facebook and do your job. As Christians, that we should be the best possible employee that we can be. And I'm not comparing myself to this guy or to that guy or to this girl. I'm saying that what I can be, what God's called me and created me to be, I should be the absolute best employee. And your boss should be able to trust you that you're going to be on time, that you're going to be reliable, that you're going to be trustworthy, and you're going to do your job well. But at times that we can, in the whole process of moving up the ladder and of succeeding, that can overtake the priority relationship and can cause damage there. And now I honestly believe that we can succeed in our jobs, we can succeed in marriage, we can succeed in family, that we can do the bigger picture, but it takes us keeping things in priority. God first, spouse next, and everything falling in line under that. Another one could be possessions in our house and accumulating, and that everything has to be just right, and we've got to have just the right stuff, and it's got to be organized, and that it then takes away from relationships. Because good things can be the enemy of the best things. Now, I'm talking and telling these things out of personal experience. I'm not talking here from an ivory tower of saying, hey, listen to me, and I'm telling you that early on in life, and in marriage, that probably things were out of balance. That if you would have come to me, Keith, and you would have said, hey, Michael, is Tamara under Christ the priority of your life? I probably, without pause, would have said, absolutely. But if you would have followed me around for a month, or you'd followed me around for a couple of weeks, you might have said, we might need to see. Because as youth pastors, that we were working hard and we were putting time in, and we had a basketball night and we had a discipleship night and we had visitation and we had service night, and the youth group was growing and people were coming to Christ and making decisions to follow the Lord, and we were growing as a church and a youth ministry, and we were hiring staff, and that we were just so busy, and that it would come on Friday night. On Friday's our day off, and we were working all day Friday. We'd put in time on Saturday. We were up late. We were up early, and that we were working, and it was something good. But ultimately, it was really because of God's grace that he kept us through those early years of marriage, because we were out of balance. And though it was something good and our priorities were right, it was out of balance with under Christ, my spouse is my priority. And God's grace was so evident to us that then when we began to pastor and become senior pastors of a church, we said, we have to take a day off. And then as we began to plan a church, we said, we have to take our vacation. Instead of going 4 years with no we have to take our time off because of the priority relationships. Ann Landers says this, neglect the whole world, but never neglect each other. Singles, here's what I want to encourage you to do. To make a list of things that distract you now in life, because there'll probably be things that distract you in marriage. That when that time comes, you have the list and you know how to set boundaries in your life. For now, for married couples, here's what I encourage you to do. To sit down and make a list of what currently distracts you. And maybe it's your cell phone and you're on it all the time. Maybe for me, if it wasn't for wife and kids, I could be happy and watch college football and soccer every Saturday all day. But I don't, because of priority relationships. So make a list. Now, wives, don't make it for your husbands. Husbands, don't make it for your wife. Make your own list. Own it. Keep it. And work to put boundaries in your life. So number one, so how do we live this out? So if we're saying, hey, we struggle in relationships, some key thoughts of distractions, how do we live it out? Number one is that we have to practice the priority. Honestly, it doesn't matter what we know, that we have to practice the priority that next to Christ, my spouse is the priority. In Luke 6:49, it says this, but a man who hears the word of God and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment that the storm struck or the torrent struck, that house collapsed and its destruction was complete. So in our lives, it's not just a matter of hearing, but practicing. So it's not a matter of you just loving your spouse. It's a matter of showing them that you love them. It's not a matter of just showing them, but it's a matter of telling them that we have to practice the priority of them knowing that they're loved and them showing that out. So here's the deal. I've always loved coming home. I've always loved coming home. And when we had kids, I've got three little girls, three beautiful girls that I'm incredibly proud of. And like, I would come home and every day I felt like a rock star because three little girls are coming and running and kissing on me. It's like, yeah. And Madison used to sit at the front window and it'd get time for me to come home and she would press her face and she'd be going, Daddy, Daddy, come home, Daddy. And I loved when I'd drive up and I'd see her in the window. And I remembered when Madison was about six and I would come home and we would wrestle and I'd grab all three of them and I would Zerbert the little nap of the neck right there, you know, and I would wrestle, but I would always make my way to Tamara and I would hug her and Madison would come in there as a six-year-old and she'd say, Daddy, kiss mommy, kiss daddy. And I would give her a big kiss and she'd go, Daddy and mommy sitting in a tree, K-I-S-S-I-N-G. And then Mally would come in. She's 2 years old, and she didn't know the whole rhyme. And she'd go, Mommy, Daddy, kissy, kissy. Ah! And she would laugh because she's so embarrassed that we're kissing. And she goes, Is that funny? Yes, Mally, it's funny. And it was funny yesterday and last week and last month. But we would practice the priority. So today, if you're single, let me give you this challenge. Decide now the how to arrange marriage that you're going to practice the priority that next to Christ, your spouse is the priority of your life. And write down a process in which to do that. If you're a couple, I want to encourage you to do this, that this is not the fun part of the message or an exciting part of the message, but I want you to go home and over the course of the next week, have a conversation with your spouse and say, do you feel like that next to God, that you are my priority? And to allow tough answers to be given so that you can move forward in your relationship. And then third thing, both of you today is say, God, ask God in prayer, what can I change to make me a stronger spouse? So if you're here today, write down this question. What is important in my marriage? As a single, write that down for future. What will be important? As a married person, say, what is important in my marriage? For me, you know what's important to me? Date time. And even if that date time means that we're just going to go get coffee and sit there and we're going to talk for just a few minutes, I really enjoy that. You know what else we enjoy? We enjoy going to the mall, getting coffee, and people watching. It's the greatest. Not making fun. We just love watching people. That it is the best dates ever. Going out. Something else that's important in our marriage is a family mealtime. Something that's really important to me is that Tamara and I, we do the church together. For us as a family, we have family movie night and we do popcorn and M&Ms and we have a movie together. That's fun for us. So what's yours? Maybe it's playing board games. Maybe it's a little travel together. Maybe it is other things. But what is important in your marriage? Practice the priority. And number two, if you're taking notes, is to protect the priority. John 10:10 says that the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come, Christ, I have come that you would have life and have it to the full, have abundant life. And now what we need to understand is the scripture teaches us this, that Satan wants to destroy what's important to God. Satan wants to destroy what's important to God. And what is important to God, listen, is strong families and strong marriages and strong people, that those things are important to God and Satan would want to destroy those things. And so I want to encourage you with this today, protect your marriage with boundaries. Protect your marriage with boundaries. That if you both work, that is a great thing, but then protect your time to where you have time alone and you're able to shut the phone and the TV off and protect your relationship with boundaries. I want to encourage you to invest in your marriage. The same way that you courted and the same way that you prioritize and the same way that you put them first kind of in the dating time to get them, continue to prioritize that life and protect the relationship with boundaries, because next to Christ, my spouse is my priority. So here's the plan. What's the plan for you? For us, have a date night together. Maybe you read a book together or read the Bible together. Maybe you have family time to where you sit down as a family and you just have time together in each other's presence and just kind of you catch life together, you know, that way. But I want to encourage you with this as a part of the plan, is I want to encourage you with this to do your spiritual life together. Let me say that again. Do your spiritual life together where you read together, you pray together, and you go to church together. So let me give you an example. That if you had if there was a forecast for car wrecks, and you could go online and you could pull up the app on your phone, and they said tomorrow 50% of all drivers will get in a major car wreck. What would you do? That I've got a daughter that drives my other daughters to school. I've got a wife that drives to work. I drive to work. So what would I do? I would go and make sure that Madison and the girls are all seatbelted in. I might get them a helmet to protect them. I'm going to make sure that they're going to go the easiest route to the school parking lot and at a time where there's less traffic. I'm going to make allowances for them to get there safely. I'm going to make sure that Tamara, that the air pressure in her car tires is aired up and that everything's running smooth. She has enough gas, and I'm going to make sure she's buckled and going at a safe time. And I'm going to take the same precautions myself because I don't want to get in that car wreck, and 50% of all cars that day will get in a car wreck. In the same way, if we know that one out of two marriages fail, why would we not take precautions to keep them safe? So according to the book on marriage, it talks about sexual detours. It says one out of two marriages don't make it to the 15-year mark. But according to a Harvard study, not a Christian study, not a church study, it said that the families that read their Bibles together weekly, to pray together daily and go to church together weekly, it's not one out of two, it's one out of every 1,500. Did you hear that? Not one out of two, not one out of three, not one out of 10, it's one out of every 1,500. And so knowing that Satan would want to destroy our marriages, we have to protect the priority. And part of that is that we grow in this relationship together by reading together regularly, praying together, coming to church, protecting the priority relationship in our lives. Practice and protect the priority. Because truly to be fulfilled in life, we have to find the one. And God is the one, and our spouse is the two. You know what Tamara told me just last night as we were going to bed? I thought this was both like, ooh, kind of a kick in the gut, but also was like, ooh, it's so true. She goes, Michael, as much as I love you, I don't think marriage would work without God. She said, because there's no reason without God to be unselfish and to be giving and to be accommodating. But with God, I want that. Protect and practice the priority that next to Christ, God is our priority. So I want to ask you two things today. And how many of you here today, you would say this? You would say, whether I'm a single or whether I'm married, that I'm willing to take the vow that next to Christ, my spouse will be my priority. That I'm going to put Christ first in my life. I'm going to put him first and then my spouse next. So if you're married, you're saying, I'm going to do that now, make that transition. If you're single, you're saying, that's the paradigm I'm going to go into a relationship with. Would you stand with me today? We're just going to pray this. And so in just one moment, I'm going to say, if you're willing to make that vow, if you're ready to make that vow, I'm going to ask you in just a moment to raise your hand. This isn't just for marriage. This is for all of us to say, well, that's the way we're going to live our relational priorities. If that's you today, and I don't want you to do it because you're standing next to your spouse or maybe the girl that you've been flirting with and you're sitting next to her and it's like, oh yeah, that'll look really good. Give me some relational change in the pocket. I'm saying you really, this is a vow you're ready to make. But how many of you today, you'd say, I'm ready to make that vow. Christ first, my spouse second. If that's you, would you raise your hand up across the auditorium? Leave them up. Leave them up. That's you. Is you ready to do that? We're going to pray. Keep your hands raised. We're going to pray that today. Father, I pray for the marriages represented in this room. I pray, Lord, for the marriages that are represented that are already physically intact. There's a covenant there made. I pray for the ones, Lord, that will be made over time with the singles in our church, the large population of singles that will, over time, we're going to get married. I just pray that, Lord, they would come into covenant relationship with you and then relay covenant relationship with each other. And that, Lord, next to Christ, they will always be the priority, that they'll neglect the whole world, but never each other. And that they'll practice and they'll protect that priority in order to build and to keep and to maintain strong marriages, strong covenants that last a lifetime. Today, God, strengthen marriages, prepare singles for marriage so that, Lord, as we move forward, that we can honor you with these covenant relationships we've entered into. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now look, for us to make that vow that Christ has to be first, that we have had to make that covenant relationship with the Lord, and the Bible says in Matthew 6:33, it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It says all this other stuff then will be added unto you is what it says. So it says, put God first, and the other things, they'll fall into line. And so today, maybe you have made Christ the priority of your life, and you've crossed that line. And if we were to say, hey, raise your hand if you've crossed that line, we could raise a hand across the room. But there may be some that we haven't made that relationship. And I'm saying, not by what you've said, but how you live, because true faith always leads us to obedience. And so today, how many of you would say, in just a minute, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. We're going to bow our heads and all that in just a moment, but just say, I want to come into relationship with Christ. I need to put him first because I want to make sure that I'm right with him and that one day I can be forgiven of my sins right now. The Bible says that we've all sinned and fallen short of God's plan. So that the cost of that, Jeremy, is that the cost is that there's a price to pay, and it's death. But the gift of God is eternal life. And that when we come into relationship with him, that there is forgiveness and spiritual life. Do you know in the Old Testament, if we're talking about, you say, well, I mean, I don't even know if I believe this junk. There were, over a period of 1,500 years, it's a lot of numbers. I'm going to go through this real quick. I feel like I'm supposed to say this. 1,500 years, there were 300 different foretellings that there's going to be a Messiah, and here's what will happen in his life. And in the 133-year life of Jesus, all 300 of those things came true. So if one didn't come true, Danine, it would invalidate the whole thing about Christ. But all of them happened, validating the claims that Jesus was this one that could forgive our sins and save our hearts. So would you bow your heads with me just for a moment? And you say, you know what, Michael, I'm ready to make that commitment to follow the Lord. I want to make him the Lord of my life and him the priority, and then I can have the appropriate priority of my spouse after that. But I want to follow the Lord with my whole heart, and I'm ready to make that decision today. If that's you, would you just, heads bowed, eyes closed, would you raise your hands, raise them up high? Yeah, awesome. Awesome. Is there anyone else today? Awesome. So awesome. Yeah. Wow. 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 Heads still bowed and eyes still closed. We're going to pray a prayer together as a church. And every one of us in the church family are going to pray together. And then I'm going to ask you as we dismiss service that if you raise your hand for this first to come to Christ, I want you to go in the prayer room. We want to pray with you. We don't want to embarrass you. We want to pray with you and to get you started in this new relationship with Christ. Second of all, if you say, I want prayer for my marriage, we're going to pray with you as well. So in just a moment, we're going to pray, and I want you to step out and head over here. Will you, Grace Hill, will you pray with me today? Say, dear Jesus, forgive me of my sins.
Forgive me of my sins.
I need you to be my Savior.
To be my Savior.
And I give myself.
And I give myself.
To you.
To you.
I want you to be the priority of my life.
To be the priority of my life.
So save me.
So save me.
Take my life.
Take my life.
I'm yours.
I'm yours.
In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
Amen. Come on, it's the greatest part of the day. It's the greatest part of the service. Awesome. If you prayed that prayer today, right after service, I want to meet you right over here. And also, if you want prayer for your marriage, we want to meet you right over here. God bless you guys. 1 hour a week for the next 3 weeks. It'll be incredible for our lives.
So much for being here at Grace Hill Community Church today. Prayer room is open. We've got several people here. They're ready to talk to you. Also, if it's your very first time, or you were invited, or you were the invitee, don't forget to see Miss Tamara. See Tamara on the way out at the table. Take your communication card. And also, if it's your first time, Pastor Michael wants to meet you. He's going to be at a table across the lobby as well. We've got a gift for you. So if it's your first time, we've got a cool coffee mug for you we want to have. It's got our logo on it. We love it. It's really cool. Also, don't forget marriage seminar coming up. Commit to be here every week for this series if you can. And let's pray. God, we just thank you so much for this message, Lord. We just pray that we can make you the priority in our life before anything and everything. God, we love you. We praise you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Have a beautiful week. We'll see you next week as we continue our series, Take a Vow.